This is Redux, a look back at the week that was in news from the WJCT News Department. I'm Vince Kong, your host, and this is episode 3. It's Friday, September 9th. Summer is winding down, school is officially back in session, and that means just one thing. The NFL season is nearly underway. Sure, WJCT may not be known for its NFL coverage, or sports coverage for that matter, but this week it's different. This week we'll be bringing you not one, but two stories about football. But only one story will be about the Jacksonville Jaguars. Both stories are from WJCT reporter, sports reporter Ryan Bank. First up is about football as the rest of the world knows it. Nine years after he stepped onto Everbank Field as a defender for the U.S. national soccer team, Alexi Lalas was once again in Jacksonville, this time as an analyst for Fox at Tuesday's World Cup qualifier. Lalas stopped by WJCT Studios to talk about soccer's future on the First Coast, as well as the rest of the country.
The U.S. national team has played in Jacksonville a few times, but the match against Trinidad and Tobago is the first qualifier to take place on the First Coast. Lala says that's progress in a country that's traditionally lagged behind in appreciation for the global pastime.
I mean, it's no longer underground or niche. It's a vibrant, educated, discerning type of soccer army that has come above ground. And there's an entire generation, and now multiple generations, that see soccer as part of their sports landscape.
Lala says bringing the World Cup to Jacksonville's doorstep should help cultivate new fans and generate interest in the city's own fledgling Armada Soccer Club. And that passion could inspire young soccer players who could one day play for the national team.
What's really exciting is to see this generation that we were just talking about come to fruition with all the incredible things that they have that I never had with soccer-specific stadiums, the soccer culture that we talked about, much better coaching and facilities, and soccer on television.
The next World Cup will take place in Russia in 2018. Ryan Bank, 89.9 WJCT News.
The U.S. men ended up routing Trinidad and Tobago 4-0 behind a two-goal performance by Jose Altidore. The men finished first in Group C of the semifinal round of the World Cup qualifying, and they earned a berth into the finals in November. And now we move on to American football. The Jacksonville Jaguar season is just days away. While fans are champing at the bit to see their beloved Jags, non-football fans are also excited as the Jags recently broke ground on a much-anticipated amphitheater at Everbank Stadium.
The 6,000-seat venue will provide a middle ground between Jacksonville's 10,000-seat Veterans Memorial Arena and St. Johns County's 4,000-seat St. Augustine Amphitheater. The city has shuttered the Metropolitan Park Amphitheater over stability concerns, making the forthcoming Daly's Place Amphitheater, sponsored by Daly's Convenience Stores, the only game in town. Jaguars president Mark Lamping says the venue will breathe more life into downtown Jacksonville.
We're able to really take advantage of a lot of existing infrastructure that's in place. So from that perspective, it's not only going to have a big impact, but we think it's a really efficient approach to adding a major public gathering space in downtown Jacksonville.
It's part of a $90 million project that includes a practice field and stadium upgrades, for which the city is paying half, with a portion of bed tax revenue devoted to stadium construction and maintenance. The city will own the amphitheater and lease it to the Jaguars, taking in fees from ticket sales and parking. But critics of the project say the city should have negotiated a deal with higher revenue potential, and the money could be better spent on other tourism-related projects. The city council passed an ordinance in 2009 earmarking part of the local bed tax for sports venues, but they could pass another ordinance rerouting the funds. The new amphitheater is set to be completed in May and should start hosting events soon thereafter. Ryan Bank, 89.9 WJCT News.
Okay, what do a hip-hop artist, a Haitian storyteller, an accordion player, a boat builder, a culinary artist, and an herbalist all have in common? It's no joke. They're this year's Folk Masters as selected by the Florida Folklife Council, which is part of the state's Division of Historical Resources. WJCT's Lindsay Kilbride had the opportunity to sit down with the hip-hop artist, Jacksonville's Mal Jones. I got
you. Okay, go ahead. See what you
That's
got.
A video of Jones at Jacksonville's monthly downtown art walk a couple months ago. His middle school age son is the one beatboxing. And while beats play, anyone can walk up and rhyme, whether you're a kid or adult. Yeah, this is Jones.
Yeah. That's my son right there. We don't play. You can tell that's my DNA.
This freestyle gathering is commonly called a cypher, and Jones holds his lyricist live cypher at every art walk.
It's aspiring rapper that wants to can come up and exchange and rhyme. And it's all improvisational.
Lots of kids and teens show up every month.
They see what I'm doing, and then they have an example that's not someone they don't know, someone on the radio or someone just feeding them the wrong messages.
And no cursing is allowed.
And you have to be creative and come up with, you know, creative things to say versus just being vulgar or saying whatever comes to your mind. You have to think about it.
This art form is what Jones will be teaching his 12-year-old apprentice, Amari Morrell. The goal is for him to host a cypher of his own and to perform at the Florida Folk Festival over Memorial Day weekend.
So it gives them what I had in the early 90s before we had the internet. You know, we used to all come together and get together and get in these circles and just play beats and rhyme.
Jones is originally from the Bronx.
The birthplace of hip-hop, the culture.
He moved to Florida when he was 10, but he would visit New York and bring back mixtapes for his friends. His dad was a jazz musician, his uncle a traditional African dancer.
All of their art forms come together to make me who I am and what I do. And hip-hop in its current state is a combination of all those things.
Which is why it's considered folk, or a tradition passed down orally or through performance. In 2013, Jones became the first hip-hop artist whose work was archived in the Florida Folklife program, and the first to perform at the more than 60-year-old Florida Folk Festival. Jacksonville-based Florida Folk Council member Keith Cartwright says people don't normally think hip-hop is folk.
But people were also incredibly receptive.
Cartwright is calling from Mexico, so it's difficult to understand him, but he calls what Jones is doing revolutionary. His council has picked Jones as a master for 2 years in a row. But Jones has been mentoring kids on his own for a while. It even led to the Jacksonville Electrical Authority to call on him to create a rhyme to teach students about electrical safety.
It's quite heavy in rotation up there in the offices.
Jones says hip-hop isn't something people consume like TV and radio. It's something they do.
The culture lies within the people in the communities and what's going on with them. So,
can you freestyle right now, like, about our interview?
Freestyle right now about our interview without a beat? No problem, no sweat. Man, check it. I'm a rhyme sweet.
The technique. Lindsay Kilbride, 89.9 WJCT News.
And Molecule, M-A-L, Jones, the MC.
Perfect.
In last week's WJCT Business Brief, we heard from the Northeast Florida Regional Council's Brian Teeple about explosive commercial growth, especially in St. Johns County. This week, Teeple tells WJCT News Director Jessica Palumbo that that kind of growth requires a shift in the way we build places to live, work, and shop.
Brian Teeple is a big picture planner. It's his job to think about smart development in an area that's expected to gain 500,000 people by the year 2040. He says it's a challenge in a region of Florida that still has lots of wooded areas and agricultural land and isn't as built out as other parts of the state. Part of what he thinks needs to happen is more dense growth. Maybe that looks like high-rise condos instead of sprawling subdivisions.
We're going to chew up all of our agricultural lands. We're going to chew up all of our green space that isn't currently protected. You know, you drive down the road and you see a field or you see a forest, and you believe in your mind it's always going to be there. And if it's in private ownership, it's not necessarily always going to be there.
He says denser growth could help with the development of a more robust public transit system, too. And Teeple doesn't just think about where development should happen, but also the cultural shifts that dictate the type of development people want. Take shopping malls, for example.
It's not simply going to the mall. to buy a new pair of shoes. It's the experience. It's going, it's seeing, it's being seen. And we experience that over at St. John's Town Center. So it's those kinds of experiences. You know, I think the day of the enclosed mall has certainly come to an end.
That's Northeast Florida Regional Council CEO Brian Teepel. He spoke with WJCT business analyst John Burr, who's on vacation this week. John Burr will return for the next business brief. I'm WJCT News Director Jessica Palumbo.
No program would be complete without an update on embattled North Florida Congresswoman Karine Brown. She appeared in a Jacksonville federal courtroom Wednesday to update a judge of the newest lawyer to represent her in her fraud trial. That is her fourth lawyer, for those keeping track at home. The Congresswoman has chosen attorney James Smith out of Orlando, who spoke with reporters outside the courthouse.
I take great pleasure in standing up for people who fight for people. And as a criminal defense attorney, I believe that we have to fight, particularly when we have cases like this of government overreach.
According to our partners, News for Jax, Orlando attorney Natalie Jackson was seen in federal court with Brown Wednesday. Jackson is currently on probation with the Florida Bar. She was suspended in May in connection with financial mismanagement of a trust fund for her clients. Jackson told News for Jax that she's not legally representing Brown. She's merely there for public relations. Brown faces 22 counts of fraud in connection with a shell charity. Her last legal team backed out after just 1 week, citing irreconcilable differences and an atmosphere of hostility and distrust. The earliest Brown's trial could proceed is November. And that's our show. You can find all of our audio and web stories at wjctnews.org. You can also stream this podcast as well as all of our on-air content on the WJCT app, which is available on iTunes and the Google Play Store. And of course, find us on your favorite podcast app and hit subscribe. If you like the music you heard on this podcast, you'll love the Electro Lounge. Join host David Luckin Tuesday through Saturday nights beginning at 9 p.m. on 89.9 WJCT FM or streaming on our WJCT app. The Electro Lounge is where you can find all styles of music with an emphasis on down-tempo, chill-out, jazz, reggae, and dub. The Electro Lounge presents the elements of surprise by playing the latest music from around the world and classics from the past 75 years in popular music. So listen this week for an eclectic mix you will not hear anywhere else. David's featured artist this week is Afterlife. Here's Orion's Place.
Some say it's just a little game. met. Crazy that now I understand the meaning of that four-letter word. It's more than you bet. I keep saying it, but I never mean it. Oceans aside, you put my fears at bay. Now that I know that every time you leave it, in my heart you'll always stay.
And that concludes Redux from WJCT News. Thank you for listening.